We are recording now. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. And this is the UOS Lunch and Learn, which has been meeting now via Zoom for about a year. And hopefully we'll get back in person in the nearish future, I hope. And we are, of course, in our mitzvah shiur. Each week we do a new mitzvah, and we usually do the mitzvot related to the parsha, but today this is the last of 4 weeks when we have been doing mitzvot from the Torah regarding Pesach. And today's class is sponsored by Mike Levy and family in memory of his mother, Jill, whose Yahrzeit is coming up. And we thank you, Mike, and your family for sponsoring. And we take a moment to remember Jill and recall how much we miss her and how much she meant to our community and to your family and the great legacy that she left behind of her wonderful family and her communal activism and her ability to touch the lives of so many people through her positive attitude and her fighting spirit. And we certainly remember that as she was ill, she really showed tremendous courage and tremendous faith. And so we remember her in those ways and so many more ways today. And we again thank the Levies for sponsoring.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Of course. Today's mitzvah that we're going to discuss is the central mitzvah that we are all going to engage in on Saturday night and Sunday night, the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, retelling the story of the Exodus from Egypt. That is the fundamental responsibility that we have on both of those nights. We do it through storytelling and through singing and through Torah study. Today we're going to discuss a specific element, a specific question that has been brought up in relation to this mitzvah. Let's jump right in, of course, as we normally do, with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, the medieval work whose authorship we really don't know, but in the introduction he says that he wrote the book for his son, so when his son had time on Shabbat afternoon, instead of wasting time, he would have something to study. And what he does in this book, as we've noted, is he goes through all 613 mitzvot of the Torah. He tells us what the mitzvah is. He tells us some of the philosophical ideas or the thought ideas behind each mitzvah and gives us a basic outline of the laws of the mitzvah. And so this is mitzvah number 21. And let's begin. I'll read it together. Sefer HaChinuch Chaf Aleph, Mitzvah 21, Mitzvah Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. The 21st mitzvah in the Torah is the commandment to recount the Exodus from Egypt. L'saper b'inyan Yetziat Mitzrayim b'leil tetvav b'nisan, to tell about the Exodus from the Egypt, and the English is on the bottom there, on the night of the 15th of Nisan, the first night of Pesach. Kol echad kefit sechot l'shono, each person according to their own power of expression. So this is just an interesting place to stop. We, most of us at our Seder, are not going to rely on the power of our expression at the Seder. We are going to rely on the Haggadah at the Seder, because the Haggadah is the book that we have to make sure that we hit all the important elements of the story. But originally, when the Torah was given and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim was given to the Jewish people, there was no Haggadah. And people did it as we see here, lefi tzichot l'shono, or lefi tzichot l'shonam, in accordance with the power of their expression. Ula halel l'shabeach l'shem yitbarach. So this is also an interesting place to stop. Not only are we commanded to tell the story, to recount the Exodus, as it says here, not only are we obligated to do that, but we are also obligated to laud and praise God. We are obligated to praise God. We're going to come back to this in a little while, but we're seeing now that according to the Sefer HaChinuch, an element of the story of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is Hallel v'Hoda'ah, thanksgiving, or Hallel and Shevach, which means we could tell the entire story of the Exodus from Egypt. We could read the verses from the Bible. We could read the Mishnayot and the Midrashim and the Gemarot, and we could read all the aspects of the Haggadah. But if we don't say Hallel, if we don't have elements of praise to God, then according to the Sefer HaChinuch, we have not fulfilled the mitzvah properly. So we have to make sure to do that. To thank God for all the miracles that he did for us. There, Shene'emar, Vihigadeta Livincha. The pasuk that we're learning this from is Shemot Yud Gimel. Pasuk Chaf, Chet, excuse me, chapter 13, verse 8. Vihigadeta Livincha, you shall tell your children. Right? That is what we are obligated to do, to tell it to other people. Bikvar Pirshu Chachamim, the Mitzvah Haggadah Zohi Belel Tetvav Nisan. The rabbis have explained already that this obligation is incumbent on us on the night of the 15th of Nisan. Bishat Achilat Matzah, when it is the time for eating matzah, which is why when it still comes to the Seder, we have to wait until Tzeta Kochavim. We have to wait until nightfall, because that's when the proper time to eat matzah is. And the proper time to tell the story is when it's the proper time to eat matzah. So we have to make sure we start at the right time. And the Torah says, you should tell your sons. It doesn't mean only your sons. Rather, ela afilu im kol birya. We could fulfill the mitzvah of telling the story to anybody. Does not have to be our sons. Not everyone has children of their own at the Seder. But what we see here as well is ideally, we should be telling the story to somebody else. Meaning, ideally, the minimum Seder crowd should be two people. Now, of course, the Mishnah says, if you don't have two people present and you're alone for the Seder, unfortunately, last year we became familiar with people who had to be alone for the Seder. Hopefully not this year. If you're alone for the Seder, you still have to tell yourself the story. But ideally, we should be telling the story to somebody else. Okay. Now, we go to Sharshei HaMitzvah, the roots of the mitzvah, meaning what's the reason for the mitzvah. Misharshei Mitzvah Zeh Masha Katub B'Karban Pesach. Ve'ein Min HaTema. Right? Again, the same, this is the, we saw this already multiple times, that we are supposed to tell the story, as we learned when we studied the reasons for the Karban Pesach, in order to remember the miracles that God did for us when we left Egypt. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch is going to address another question. There are so many mitzvot that we do in order to remember the Exodus from Egypt. Why do I need so many mitzvot for this one thing? So he says, this is not something that should surprise us. And there's no wonder, he says, if there are many commandments that come about this, positive commandments and negative commandments, since it is a great foundation and a strong pillar in our Torah and our faith, Yitziat Mitzrayim is very important. As we said a few weeks ago, I think Zach mentioned this, that Yitziat Mitzrayim represents our national formation. Right? That's when we became a nation. So of course we have many mitzvot which remind us of that event. However, the Sefer HaChinuch says something else. He says as follows, and therefore we always say in memory of Exodus from Egypt, Zecher Yitziat Mitzrayim, for example, on Shabbos, when we say Kiddush on Shabbos, when it's not Yom Tov, we say Zecher Yitziat Mitzrayim in the Kiddush for Shabbat. What does Yitziat Mitzrayim have to do with Shabbat? So he's in the answer. Since it is a sign and a total proof for the creation of the world, and there is a primordial God that has will and ability. He controls all of what exists, and it is in his hand to change them according to what he desires at any time, as he did in Egypt when he changed the natural processes of the world for our sake. What the Sefer HaChinuch is doing here, he's drawing our attention to the fact that the Exodus from Egypt has a lot to do with Shabbat. Because if you remember, we rest on Shabbat to symbolize and to testify that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. That is a fundamental of our faith, belief in God and belief that God created the world. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, the same thing applies to Pesach. But on Pesach, it was witnessed by people. The creation of the world wasn't witnessed by people. But the Pesach, the fact that God is in control of nature, which was borne out by the plagues that he brought on Egypt. So the fact that God is in control of nature is a fundamental aspect of our faith. It's really the faith in God. That's what we believe. That's the God that we believe in. So he answers two questions here, one which he asked and one which he didn't ask, but we mentioned. The first question he answers is, why do we have so many mitzvot about this? Because the mitzvot are not only about remembering Egypt, they are about remembering specifically that God controls nature, meaning remembering what happened in Egypt is an acclamation, a declaration of faith, the fundamental faith. So that's why there are so many mitzvot connected to it. And the question we asked is, what does that do with Shabbos? Well, that's easy now. Shabbos is also about recognizing God is in control of nature, and that's one of the main lessons of the story of Mitzrayim. Okay, so with that, yes, Zach, go ahead.
Okay, I did. I could not resist. I think it's another layer of why we have to remember Shabbat, because first time from the moment of creation, God created a nation who will observe Shabbat. This is, okay. I think, great. It's a very important statement, because leaving Egypt led us to Mount Sinai for Torah, and Torah commandment is observe Shabbat, and it's first time, not just person, not like Abraham. We have a differences.
Right. Okay. Beautiful. Okay. Excellent. Thank you. That's a third reason. Fantastic. Okay. So now I have a question. This is a question which is asked by a number of sources. We have two mitzvot related to the memory of Yetziat Mitzrayim. One of them is the mitzvah that we're talking about tonight, to tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. But there's another mitzvah that we have, which we're obligated to do twice a day, which is Zichirat Yetziat Mitzrayim, remembering the exodus from Egypt. Right? On the Seder, we have the mitzvah of retelling the story of the exodus from Egypt. But every day, we have a mitzvah incumbent on us, once during the day, once at night, to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. So the question is, what's the difference? Practically speaking, what's the difference between them? Or maybe there is no difference between them. But if there's no difference between them, then we wouldn't have two separate mitzvot. So that's my question. Anybody want to try to chime in on that? Carol?
Well, one is telling the story of what happened. The other one, it's very specific. We have to remember leaving Egypt.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure what those two things mean, but they're different.
Right. So we have to figure out, if Carol's right, what are the added elements of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? Because Carol is right. Zichirat Yetziat Mitzrayim, really, we have to remember that God took us out of Egypt. There's nothing about the slavery. There's nothing about the miracles, right? And the way we fulfill that mitzvah, generally speaking, on a daily basis, is the third paragraph of Shema, right? Third paragraph of Shema. I'll just get the text just to quickly share it. And you'll see it's pretty bare in terms of what we say. What we say is, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Liyot Lachem Lelokim Ani Hashem Elokechem, which is a pasuk in Bamidbar. I am the Lord your God, right, who took you out of Egypt to be your God. That's it. Okay? There's not a lot of detail there. I'm sure a lot of people would like that to be the text of the Haggadah. We'd get to the food a lot quicker. But that's not the case. So We have to figure it out. So definitely Carol is putting us on the right track. There are definitely more elements in Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim than there are in Zechir Yetziat Mitzrayim, and we have to identify them. And that's what we're going to do right after Chana and Zach. Go ahead, Chana.
I think that when you say that we are obligated to score at Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's even more so twice a day, which means it has to penetrate to your brain. It's like what we say in Hebrew, Shtifat Moach, like to remember it and not to forget the miracle and what happened and how God was so great and made so many miracles for us. So it's like, don't forget.
So we then, Chana, if that's true, then what's the difference between that and Sipur? If remembering requires all those details, then what are we doing differently at the Seder?
The Seder is once a year, but this
what's the difference, though? That, yes, of course, but meaning there are two mitzvot counted in the Torah: Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim and Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Yeah, but when you
so why does the Torah, if the Torah gives us two separate mitzvot, what's the difference between them?
But you will forget if it's once a year.
I agree, but I'm asking, what's the difference between the mitzvot? That's what we have to figure out. Okay, here we go. Let's hold the questions now so we can get to some of the material. Then we'll come back to questions. Write down your question. We'll get to it. Okay. So,
No question. I want to say something.
Well, we're going to get to the material, and whatever you want to say, just hold off, and you'll say it. We'll say it afterwards because I don't want to run out of time. Okay, here we go. So the Minchas Chinuch we've talked about before is one of the commentaries on the Sefer Achinuch asked the question, V'hine l'chora tzarech iyun al harambam demone ha-mitzvah l'saper bilel tetvav. The Rambam counts as a separate mitzvah of telling the story on the 15th. Umay ma'al yuta delel ze mikol halelot. What added elements, or what is better or special about that night from every night? Ha mitzvah lahaskir yetziat Mitzrayim b'chol yom u'v'chol layla. There's an obligation to remember the story of the Exodus every day and every night. So what's so special about the Seder night? Okay, so that's the question. So first he tries to, he suggests an answer and rejects it. V'gam im lomar ditamid dai behirhur. Maybe you want to say that on the Seder night, all you're obligated to do is mentally, not on the Seder night, then on a regular day, that all you're, like today, that all you're obligated to do is remember mentally and not speak it out verbally. Ayin b'megillah v'chan dechtiv v'galta tzarich agada b'pe zot omeret. I'm sorry, this is not what I wanted. I got the wrong thing, but he says no. Even the daily mitzvah of remembering is verbal. So that's not the difference, because you could say, oh, the difference is you tell a story out loud, and you remember mentally. So every day of the year, day and night, you could just remember mentally, and at the Seder you have to say it verbally. No, says the Minchas Chinuch, both of them require a verbal declaration. So we're still stuck. What's the difference? So Rabbi Soloveitchik's grandfather, Rabbi Chaim Brisker, also famously asked this question, and he came up with three differences between the daily mitzvah of remembering the Exodus and the yearly obligation of retelling the story of the Exodus. And here's what he says. And you will see that these all bear out in the Haggadah. So he says as follows. Hinei b'chol layla yesh mitzvah shel zechirat yetziat Mitzrayim. Every night there is an obligation to recall yetziat Mitzrayim. What do we add on Pesach night in the mitzvah of telling the story? Which is not included in the daily mitzvah. He says there are three distinctions between the two mitzvot. Number one, in the blue underline, lekayem mitzvat zechira ein tzarech ela laskir la'atzmo yitziat Mitzrayim. We said this, alluded to this. When it comes to the mitzvah of remembering, all you need to do is remember it to yourself. If I'm davening at home all by myself, and I say that third paragraph of Shema, with that one paltry line about the Exodus, and no one else hears me, right? If you daven in a forest and no one else is there, does anyone hear you, I guess? I have fulfilled my mitzvah 100%. 100%. However, says Rabbi Chaim, Aval b'sipur yitziat Mitzrayim, when it comes to telling the story, ha-mitzvah hi l'saper le'acher. You are obligated to tell someone else the story, which makes sense. Right? We don't tell stories to ourselves. I made a comment this morning that sometimes I like to talk to myself because when I do, I'm definitely the smartest person in the room. But when anyone else is in the room, chances are I'm not. So that works for Yetziat Mitzrayim, but that does not work for retelling the story. A story is told to somebody else. So in order to fulfill the mitzvah, ideally, of course, you have to tell it to somebody else. Now, then Reb Chaim says that you're supposed to do it derech she'ela v'tshuva, which I think you could add as another element even. Not only do you have to tell the story to someone else, which is one difference, I would say 1A, you have to tell it through question and answer. And that bears itself out also in the Haggadah. We have four questions in the Haggadah. We have the four sons who ask questions in the Haggadah. We have two more times also. Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. We ask, what is Pesach? What is Matzah? What is Maror? And we answer those questions. So sprinkled throughout the Haggadah are questions and then answers. So you're obligated, says Reb Chaim, to tell the story to somebody else in question and answer format. So that's 1 and 1A. Okay, number 2, where the yellow outline is. B'sipur tzarich l'saper kol ha-hishtal shilot v'tzarich l'hatchil b'genut u'lesayim b'shevach. When it comes to the story, we have to tell all of the details, like Carol said. The slavery, the plagues, the splitting of the sea, the leaving quickly so we couldn't eat bread and we had to have matzah. We have to have all of those details. Not only that, we must start with the negative and begin with the positive. This is a fundamental rule of the Seder. Matchil b'genut u'misayim b'shevach. And we do that in two ways based on a disagreement in the Talmud. What do we start out with? Avadim hayinu l'parim b'mitzrayim. That's the negative. And then we talk about freedom. We also say arami oved avi. My ancestor was an idolater. We start with a physical negative and a spiritual negative, and then we say we got to the Torah. So we end with a physical positive, leaving Egypt, and end with a spiritual positive, getting the Torah. So that's number two. Number two is, it's 2 and 2A. 2 is we have to tell all of the details while we do it in a specific order, 2A, specific order, starting with the negative and ending with the positive. And finally, number 3, the orange line, mitzvah l'saper ta'amei ha-mitzvot shel oto ha-layla kamo shekatuv, Rabban Gamliel haya omer kol shelo amar shlosha divarim elu bepesach lo yatzei dechavato. We have to specify, while we tell the story, that there are elements of the story, the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror, and we are obligated to declare what those things symbolize. That is a very important part of the Seder. There are guides out there for what to do if you're short on time at the Seder. Most of them are written for Israeli soldiers. And they all include that end part of the Maggid. Rabban Gamliel haya omer, kol shelo amar shlosha divarim elu, lo yatsa yidei chovato. If you have not said the following three things, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Ve'elu hein, and these are what they are. Pesach, matzah, umara. And then we ask questions. Pesach al shum ma, why do we eat the carbon Pesach? Maror al shum ma, why do we eat the maror? Matzah al shum ma, why do we eat the maror? Again, questions. So number three is, we have to use props at the Seder. No, I'm sorry, that's later. We have to explain all of the mitzvot at the Seder. I'm going to stop here, quickly review, then take the comments. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says, the difference between the mitzvah of remembering daily and telling the story once a year or twice a year, because we live in the diaspora, is all year long, I just have to say, God took us out of Egypt, period. On Pesach night, I have to tell it to somebody else. I'm sorry, all year long, I can just do that to myself. On the Seder night, I have to tell someone else in question and answer format. Number two, all year long, I just mentioned the fact that God took us out of Egypt. On Pesach night, I need all of the details, and it must start with a negative and end with a positive. And number three, all year long, I don't have to talk about any mitzvot related to that mitzvah. When it comes to Seder night, I have to explain the mitzvot. Okay. We're still not done. We got others, but we'll take some comments. Okay, Mom, you had a comment.
You sort of answered it, because I would say at the Seder, you're actually doing physical things. You're eating the maror, you're doing the salt water. You sort of answered, but rather than just telling and asking and answering, you're actually doing something physical.
Ah, great. So let me jump towards the end, because this was Rabbi Chaim Brisker, Rabbi Soloveitchik's grandfather. Rabbi Soloveitchik himself added to his grandfather's approach and added a few things. I have them down here. One of them is props, right? The fifth aspect of the Seder, he says. There's a whole article, nine aspects of the Seder. The fifth aspect of Sipur Tzibetraim is the central role that the meal and food play at the Seder. Here is another more basic reason for Kiddush playing a role in the Sipur Tzibetraim. Sipur Tzibetraim contains within it two elements. One is the recitation of certain passages. Second is the element of performing certain actions, eating of certain foods. When one eats matzah, maror, and karban pesach on the Seder night, one fulfills these specific mitzvot. However, in addition, through the eating of these foods, one is able to teach and convey the message of Geulat Mitzrayim, the redemption from Egypt. They function as audiovisual aids in our educational scheme, namely the Seder. So the props play a role in the food, play a role of props at the Seder. Okay, good. So that took care of that. Excellent. Let's see. Ellie.
Well, two things. First of all, I thought the difference was that it was about experiencing it again, like reliving it again, as if it was you, right? That's what.
Excellent.
So correct. I thought it was about, we have to do that once a year, but we couldn't do that twice a day. So twice a day we remember back, but actually live it. That's what I thought it was. But the other thing was...
That's a good one. I don't think that's on here. Hold on 1 second. I think that may be on here. Yes.
Okay. The other thing.
1 second, Ellie. This is letter F down here, relevance. In every generation, a person should look upon himself as he personally had come out of Egypt. And then we talk about elements of, and we say, Rabbi Soloveitchik says that in every generation, here it is, in every generation, here, Vehisha Amda, for not only one tyrant has risen up against us to destroy us, but in every generation, tyrants have sought to destroy us, and God has redeemed us. So we see ourselves not only as having left then, but we see ourselves almost in a constant state of this type of redemption, that all through the years, even though people have taken swings at us, and some of them have been highly successful, nonetheless, They have not succeeded in wiping us out. So yes, that's another difference. When it comes to the daily remembering, I don't have to talk about the relevance at all. When it comes to this one, I have to add contemporary relevance. Good. Okay. Ellie, go ahead.
I think I'm right about this. Rabbi Schneerson, after his wife died, he always had his seders on his own because everybody wanted him and, you know, he couldn't choose or whatever. So he obviously would have known what you've just told us. So how would he justify that he wasn't actually telling anybody?
That's a great question. I did not know that.
I hope I'm right about that. But
I have a connection to, I've recently made a connection with a scholar of Chabad Chassidut. I am going to ask him that question.
Thank you. Well, I hope I'm right.
He just actually wrote a book about the Rebbe.
Last year I comforted myself with that when I was on my own. Like I thought, oh, look, I'm in good company.
Yes. I mean, no, first of all, that's great. And I love that. And I'm going to find out from him. Thank you. I didn't know that.
Find out if I'm right first. Yeah.
We will. I will. Okay. Nitza.
Every day we remember death and we kind of telling it during the time that you pray, but it becomes like a robot that you are doing a habit. Where on this day, that's not a habit. You go into the habit and you analyze it.
Great.
And you anchor back into your very belief.
Oh, that's very nice. Okay, that's nice. That's nice, Nitza. So what Nitza is saying is all the added elements that we've just talked about are the equivalent, this is very relevant, of a booster shot. This is the booster shot. We're supposed to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim because it reminds us that God can do anything and that God formed the Jewish people and God formed the people that keep Shabbat, as Zach said. But it gets rote, it gets old. So once a year, we come back and we pack it in and we talk about every conceivable element of that event so that for the next 365 days, it's a stronger part of our religious life. Wonderful. I love it. Okay, good. Let's continue because there are some more elements that Rabbi Soloveitchik added to his grandfather. So far we have three. Now Rabbi Soloveitchik adds, and here they are. This is from written by Rabbi Soloveitchik's grandson, which includes a lot of his lectures. And he says, "V'nira lehosif." Everyone, see it right here. "V'nira lehosif." Sorry, it's not in English, but if you want to take notes, he says, "I could add what my grandfather said." "Bazed b'mitzvah tzipurtziat mitzrayim nichlal gam detrichim lahalel ulehodot." Remember, we said that the Sefer HaChinuch said this, that when it comes to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim on Pesach, we must add the element of praise and thanksgiving. If we don't, then we're not doing enough. We're not doing the job properly. Al zeh shehotzeinu mitzrayim, v'lekach anu korim halel. That's why we have halel at the Seder, right? What's halel doing there? Because we have an obligation to praise and thank. Ach, mitzvah tzachir yetziat mitzrayim, hi rak hazachira. However, the daily mitzvah of remembering Egypt, that's just remembering. There's no obligation to thank God there. That's one. That's one. He adds that one. So now we have four in the name of the Soloveitchik family. The three that the grandfather gave and one that Rabbi Soloveitchik gave. And then we have, now we have more. We found Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik himself also suggested that we have a specific obligation to do it on that night. On that night, which is why, this is a very technical thing, I'll run through it. A lot of people like to start the Seder early. Rabbi Soloveitchik's grandfather says, we cannot start the Seder early because the first cup of wine is the Kiddush cup, right? But each cup of wine is an aspect of telling the story. And you can only tell the story on that night. So if you start at 6 o'clock, it's not Pesach. It's not that night. So that's why we have to start even Kiddush, not just drinking, even the Kiddush, because we talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim in the Kiddush, has to be at night. So that's also a difference, right? The mitzvah of remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim is every day. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is specifically to that day, and therefore all the mitzvot connected to it have to be on that day. Okay. Also, he suggests, I saw this in a commentary. I'm sorry, I forgot to label this. This is a commentary on the Minchas Chinuch. When it comes to the mitzvah, I'll just tell it outside. When it comes to the mitzvah of remembering, even if I don't know Hebrew and I read that pasuk, I fulfill the obligation of remembering. When it comes to telling the story, I have to understand what I'm saying, right? What good is a story if I don't understand what I'm telling people and the people who are hearing it don't understand what they're hearing, right? So that's interesting. There are maybe aspects of the Seder, of the Haggadah, that we should say in English or at least read in translation along as we're going through the Hebrew. Because or maybe some people should read the whole Haggadah in English. Because if I don't understand what I'm saying, what kind of story is that? So that's another element of a difference. People don't realize this. When it comes to like the mitzvah of Megillah, I don't have to understand it. As long as the Megillah is read in Hebrew and I hear every word, it doesn't mean anything to me. It's like Goldilocks. It doesn't make a difference. I fulfill my obligation. This is a mitzvah to hear it. Even if it's interesting, I just have to hear the words. Here, there's a mitzvah to tell the story, a whole new level of obligation. Okay, next. I mentioned Rabbi Soloveitchik has this article, 9 aspects of the Haggadah. Before we go into them, I'll ask one more time. Has anyone thought of any other differences? Now I lost track. We have like 5 or 6 already. Any other differences between the obligation to remember the Exodus, the daily mitzvah to remember the Exodus, and the twice yearly mitzvah for us in the diaspora to retell the story? Okay, Zach, please unmute.
I think it's another level, which I was lucky this year. 2 days ago, I finished Masecht Pesuchim.
Mazel tov.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And I was so excited. The first time in my life, I felt with my skin and my intellect how timeless we are. I was studying, and it happened quite late. Haggadah story was discussed by our sages at the end of this Masechta. And every time when I was reading additional point of discussion, it brought me to the Seder night, which I understood first time how much we are timeless. I think this is another level what makes us important to have Haggadah and Seder. I felt so attached to those sages who were talking about it 1800, 1900 years ago. I would suggest everyone at this class next year, do yourself a favor. 2 weeks before Seder, study Masecht Pesachim from approximately page 105.
The 10th chapter. The 10th chapter, the final chapter of Pesachim is the chapter that runs basically through the Haggadah. And what Zach is saying is so true that you realize that with minor differences, their Seder was just like our Seder. Now, we have a lot more text, but the building blocks of the Seder are the same, and it gives you a real connection. It's hard to connect the way the sages kept Shabbos to the way we keep Shabbos because we live in such a different type of life. But the Seder table, they would probably more or less, except for, you know, Dayenu and who knows one, I recognize our Seder, and we would more or less recognize their Seder. Excellent point, Zach. All right, let's look at Rabbi Soloveitchik's additional comments. So first of all, he says that the Seder night must include Torah study, which the remembering does not require. And if you look carefully at the Haggadah, we have Mishnah, Talmud, and Midrash, all woven in, besides Torah verses themselves, obviously, all woven in to the Seder. And so we are obligated to study Torah as part of that. Meaning, I think what the message is that we can't really have a significant nation-building experience unless it is focused on Torah study, because that is the national pastime of the Jewish people. Not baseball. Baseball is the second one, right? That is a national pastime of the Jewish people, and therefore we have to make sure that we include Torah study in it. Next, we also have to teach, right? We don't only study, we also teach. Again, v'higadata lebincha, we are obligated to tell the story to others. That's the fundamental obligation of the night. As I said before, a question and answer form, we covered that already. We also covered props, food as props. We also covered thanksgiving and praise. We also covered relevance. So not all of these are new. And so those are the elements that Rabbi Soloveitchik has that distinguish Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim from Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's a night which has a totally different feel than the daily mitzvah. It's a multi-generational question and answer forum on God and the miracles that God did when He took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So those are the important distinctions as we talked about, and they all point to the uniqueness, the special nature of this mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, and how it's different from the regular obligation of telling the story of Egypt. So thank you, everybody,
Rabbi, can for I joining. Say something?
I wish you all a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Yes, Chana.
First of all, I have a question. I want to say a comment. It reminds me that also for Shabbat, you say Shamor et Yom HaShabbat and Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. So Zachor, remember, and Shamor, do it, right? So
Yes. Actually
guard the Shabbat. So it's kind of the same. Remember the Yetziat Mitzrayim and V'higadata Lebincha, do it, tell the story. Well,
Shamor, so, yeah, but traditionally Shamor is normally the lo ta'aseis of Shabbat. Because the truth is, if you think about it on Shabbat, there are not that many things we're obligated to do. Zachor is Zachrehu Bayayin. We have to remember it, the Shabbat, by saying Kiddush over wine.
Uh-huh.
And Shamor refers to the things we're not supposed to do, which create the beautiful atmosphere. All those things we're not supposed to do are in the service of the atmosphere of Shabbat, which then gives us time to do other things like studying Torah, spending time with our family, eating a meal and not rushing off, right? All of those lotases give us, like even something as simple as not cooking on Shabbat. Why? Well, the fundamental answer is because we're not supposed to be creative on Shabbat. On Shabbat, God, we remember that God is in charge. So we sort of take a step back from creating. God is in charge. But another reason is the meal's done, meaning whoever is normally involved in cooking the meal in the house doesn't have to do it on Shabbat. That person or those people can sit with everybody else. The meal is ready. No additional preparation is necessary. And everyone gets to sit and enjoy the time together. So even something like that, we often get hung up. There are so many lo ta'aseis, so many things we're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but they are all in service of creating an atmosphere on Shabbos, which is almost impossible to recreate during the week when we don't have those prohibitions. So yeah, okay.
Okay, so, one more question that I have for you.
Please.
Regarding tonight at 8:15,
yes.
You give a lecture. Can you record it and then send it to me, please? Because I'll not be able
I will
to
record
attend.
It.
What?
I will record it and send it to the whole shul, yes.
And send it because I have to pick up my daughter from the airport, please.
Oh, very nice. That's a good. That's a oseket bin mitzvah, piturami mitzvah.
No, I really, really, really want to hear that lesson, that class.
It's going to be rapid fire. We have 15 Divrei Torah, one for each step of the Seder.
Okay, so and
so
then
bring a pen, but I'm also going to send them out.
So send it to me before, like as soon as you can, because I really want to listen to it and take some things for the kids in the Seder.
I will send it as soon as I can, but I promise you I can't send it before I do it.
Oh, sure. Okay, so that's
all right. Chag Kasher V'Sameach, everyone. Amen. Have a wonderful Pesach.
Amen.
Sheila, do you want to say something? You have to unmute yourself. Sheila, you have to unmute yourself. No, you're still muted, Sheila.
Okay.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. Just two things. I would like Robin to repeat her question about the Chabad rabbi that published something.
Ellie said that I had mentioned that the ideal way to have the Seder is with somebody else, but Ellie mentioned that her understanding is that after the Lubavitcher Rebbe's wife died, he chose to have a Seder by himself.
Oh.
It seems to go against the preferred way. So I'm gonna snoop around and see what I could find.
Okay. All right, another question. Ruthie Shulman, she had done a class on hair coverings, comparing the Jewish woman with a Muslim. There was a Muslim woman. They did a class together. Is that recorded?
Yeah, I believe it was recorded. We'll try to send that out. I'll try to send out a whole series of recordings of recent classes.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Okay.
Okay, Rabbi?
Yes.
There is one more thing that I would like to share, which is really, really nice. I got a WhatsApp about why we say Pesach.